That resonate with any of you parents out there? You're right. Like, yeah, I'm going to be singing that all week to my kids. You know, it seems like respect is in short supply these days. And you can tell a lot about a culture by how it treats those who came before it. And some cultures, like, they instinctively just value age and wisdom and sacrifice and legacy. Like, they assume that if someone has lived longer and suffered longer and struggled longer and prayed longer and survived longer, parented longer, that maybe they know a few things, right? And so maybe we ought to listen to some of their wisdom. But our culture, it just seems to be moving away from that. You know, we're not exactly known for honoring age in our culture. We're more likely to say, okay, boomer, than we are to say, hey, can you teach me a little bit from the decades of experience that you have? We just don't seem to honor those who have gone before us very well. And when you add in this layer of those who came before us being our parents, it adds in a whole other layer of emotion and memories and feelings, and not all of them are good. Not all of them are good. So we're at a turning point in the series, and here's why we're at a turning point. The first four commands were vertical. The first four commands, they were commands about our relationship with God. They are, how do you have a right relationship with God? How do you experience His best? How do you have a good relationship with Him? And the remaining six commandments are all horizontal. They're not vertical, they're horizontal. They are a response to the vertical. When you have the vertical right, when your relationship with God is right, then you will have the ability, even the propensity, to have right relationships with other human beings, those horizontal relationships. The last six commandments are all about us relating to one another. And just so you know, Jesus not only understood this, but He taught us the reality of the Ten Commandments. In a very famous passage, He was asked, which of the Ten Commandments is the greatest? And this was His answer, Matthew 22. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But He couldn't stop with one. He said, you can't have the first without having the second. The second is like it. Love yourself, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Of course they all hang on these two commandments. Because the first four are all about how to love God and have a relationship with God. And then the last six are all about how we can love our neighbor and be in right relationship with people. They're broken up into two segments that are as important as each other. Now, you got to remember, this whole series, when we began it, began with freedom, right? God rescued Israel from slavery. Then He gave them these commandments. He's like, the commandments are how we stay free. They're not how we became free. They're how we live in freedom. They're how free people learn to live. They're significant pillars of how we can thrive in this life. The commandments are like, how do we live life to the full? How do we live the life that Jesus promised us? He said, I came so that they may have life and have life to the full in John 10:10. Sadly, these are ignored by most and not even really understood by those who follow Jesus. So as we make this turn in the commandments, it is no accident that God starts His commandments about human relationships, horizontal relationship. It's not surprising that after the first four vertical commandments, He gives us commands and starts with the bridge to our human relationships, the fifth command. He starts with the relationship that has the greatest influence on how we ultimately think about and do or don't love God, and the most influential relationship when it comes to determining and influencing how we're going to think about other human beings and how we're going to relate to them. He starts with our parents. Because this is where formation begins. Like, the home is where we first learn about authority. We first learn about trust. It's where we first learn about correction and responsibility and relationship. And how you process your parents, whether it is positive or painful, will shape how you respond to authority, how you handle conflict, how you build your own family, and how you relate to God. So this commandment isn't just about family, it's about formation. It's about our formation. So here's the fifth commandment as it's written in Exodus, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Then, if you do that, You'll live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So God says, hey, you want a free society. You want families that last. You want a future that's better than your past. Then you must learn the way of honor. And it starts with your parents. And this command hits different for different people, doesn't it? Like, for some, this command feels warm. It actually feels like it brings up gratitude. And you think about your parents or your grandparents, like, they loved you, they prayed for you, they sacrificed for you, they showed up for you, and they weren't perfect, but they were faithful. And so, like, this command kind of brings up good stuff. For others, this command kind of hits a bruise. Kind of can poke a wound, maybe. And it brings up disappointment. It brings up distance. Brings up pain. Brings up anger, loss, and grief. Because some of you hear, honor your father and mother, and your first inner response is, do you know what they did? Honor my mother and father. Do you know what they didn't do? It's just not that easy. And that's why today we kind of need to slow down a little bit. Kind of need to lean into this, because honor is one of those ideas that sounds really good until it gets personal. It's easy to talk about honor in theory. It's much harder when the people who shaped you, your parents, didn't do it so well. And so, you know, maybe as you think about your parents, they were controlling or they were distant. Maybe they loved you, but they weren't healthy themselves. Maybe they provided for you, but they didn't know how to connect with you. Maybe they're still in your life, and it is still complicated. My biological father, basically absent from our lives. My mom and dad got divorced when my brother and I were very young, and my dad really never engaged my brother and I as a father, like hardly at all. I knew him my whole years growing up till I was 18 as a check that showed up on Fridays because he had to pay child support. So we grew up for many years without a dad, and that left a massive wound in my brother and I. And then my mom married a guy who was abusive to us, and they ended up divorced 8 years later. And so to say that my past with my parents is complicated is an understatement. So for some of us, whether our parents did right or wrong, some of us, we have kind of like moved into, like, we've developed casual dishonor when it comes to our parents. And some of us, it's because of kind of what they did or didn't do. And others of us, we've just kind of let it become that over time because we just don't value those who have come before us in our culture. You know, it's like my biological dad passed away a long time ago. And still to this day, I do not know why he made the choice that he made to just disassociate and pull away from my brother and I. Do you honor somebody that did that to you? It's been something I've had to work through for decades of my life. I'm probably still working through it, like if I'm honest. So for some of us, it's easy to just have this casual dishonor of our parents. Some of us have just kind of fallen into it. Some of us, we carry quiet resentment towards our parents. We roll our eyes, we mock, we ignore, we tune out. So I want to give us a truth for today. By nature, the quality of our lives is significantly influenced by the quality of our relationship with our parents. This is just a reality. By nature, the quality of our lives is significantly influenced by the quality of our relationship with our parents. A quality relationship with our parents leads to some quality outcomes. A dysfunctional, hurtful, broken relationship with our parents leads to some dysfunctional, hurtful, broken relationships, relationship outcomes in our life. It is a life-defining relationship. And I don't have to tell you that, like for good and bad, we've all been significantly influenced by our parents, even if we never got to know them because in our mind they gave us away. And just in case you think, well, that's Old Testament stuff, but like, you know, we're now in the New Testament era, the Apostle Paul, in the New Testament. He was a Jesus hater. He was a Christian persecutor. He approved and stood by while Jesus was crucified, and he lived that way until he met the resurrected Jesus face to face, radically changed his life, and he became one of the most prolific church planters that we've ever known, wrote over half of the New Testament. He in Ephesians 6, he reaches back into the Old Testament, and he brings this command back into view because the weight of this command hasn't changed. It hasn't changed since it was written, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, mind you. Why do that? So that it may go well with you, and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Paul is just being practical for anyone who's a follower of Jesus. If you're going to experience the best in life, if you're going to experience life to the full, you need to know how important relationships are. And they start right here with this one, honor your parents. The wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, he wrote in Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. So can I just tell you this verse is true? Right now, you didn't experience your parents in the past. You carry your family with you right now. You carry them with you. You carry your parents with you. You carry it in how you handle conflict, how you respond to authority, how you speak to your spouse, how you parent your kids, how you react when you feel controlled or corrected, ignored, or misunderstood. You carry them with you. The influence of parents is profound. And those of us who are parents, let me just tell you, we should use our parenting opportunity to give light and wisdom and direction to our kids. If your family's going to win with Jesus, your home is going to win with Jesus, it starts with you parents. That's who it starts with. Our vision for here is for your family to win with Jesus, and this isn't a parenting message, so I'm not going to get into parenting, but I will do this. Parents, we are to do our best, absolute best, to teach our children about God and who he is and how loved our kids are by him. We're to do our best to live honorable lives and be an example for our children of what a healthy marriage looks like, how to handle anger and disappointment and conflict and failure in a God-honoring way. And I just want to say, just so you know, no parents are perfect. No parents have it all together. We've all made mistakes. Like, I know for a fact that Melissa and I have and will come up in our kids' counseling. Like, we just will. I know there's going to be probably months spent on my mom and dad from my kids. Because there's no doubt in my mind that even though we did the best we could, even our best isn't enough for what our kids need. Our best isn't enough. And this is where, as parents, look, we just need God's help. You need God's help. Parents, you're not enough to give your kids and equip your kids and help your kids and guide your kids with everything they need. You are not able to. That's why most of us who have this incredible mantle of being parents, we need to regularly ask God for help with our parenting. I bet you since we have had kids, over half of Melissa and I's prayers are about our kids. They're about us. Like, God, would you give me patience to not kill them? I remember I called Melissa, like, Garrett was probably 2, maybe 3. Travis was like a few months old. I called Melissa during the day just to say hi. And she doesn't say hi to me when she picks up the phone. She just says, tell me why I shouldn't throw Garrett out the window right now. That's how she greets me. But I'm telling you, more than half of our prayers are for our kids, about our kids, and just say, God, help us. Like, we don't know what to do. I know we don't have what our kids need. And I know half the time we don't know what they need, but God does. So we need to be praying regularly, parents. God, help me. God, help me. Help us. Help our kids. So here is the tension today with this command. What do you do with the people who shaped you when they didn't do it perfectly? What do you do? How do you move forward? Not pretending that it was all good, but also without letting it define you. how do you honor without denying reality? And again, some of you had a great relationship with your parents, and you hear this, honor your father and mother, and you're like, that's good. Everybody should do that. Not all parents lead us to God's wisdom like God talks about. Not all parents, in the end, are honorable. And so we can take this command and go, well, my parents, they weren't honorable, so I don't have to honor them. But you would be wrong in making that application, and you'd be hurting yourself. And many of us do that. Many of us do that. So here's what you need to know. When parents don't lead the child to God's wisdom, and when parents in that important and influential role aren't honorable, that is on them. How you receive that and respond to that, that is on you. That is on you. That's why this command is very simple, but it is not simplistic. In fact, it's pretty complex for a lot of us. Honor your father and mother. Because we're to do that, not because they were perfect, not because every memory is good, not because there's no boundaries needed, not because like God is asking you to pretend as if they are perfect, but because honor is part of how God forms free people and how we keep dishonor from shaping who we become. So we honor our father and mother. What does honor mean? It means giving proper weight. The word translated honor in Exodus 20 carries this idea of weight or heaviness. It means treating something as significant, serious, valuable, and not light. See, dishonor often begins when we make someone less than, when we just pull them down, we dismiss them, we reduce them, we mock them, we treat them as irrelevant. We talk about them like they're nothing more than their worst moment. We talk about them like they're nothing more than their biggest flaw. Or like they're nothing more than the worst mistake of their life. We just kind of bring them down to their most painful failure or their most frustrating habit. So honor does the opposite of that. It just gives proper weight. Honor says this person is not perfect, but they're not nothing. That's what honor says. Honor says this relationship might be complicated, but it still matters. It matters. Honor says there may be pain here, but I'm not going to let contempt become my language. I'm going to tell the truth, but I'm not going to be cruel with it. And so what I want to do, because the room is very quiet right now, I just want to get really practical. I want to be practical with you. How do we live this command out? How do we honor our father and mother? The promise attached to it is what we all want, right? We want our life to go well, and we want a long life. We all want that. This commandment is saying there's a promise attached to it. If you do this, here's the result. So I want to get really practical with this question. How do we honor our father and mother? How do we cultivate an honoring relationship? Because sometimes our parents don't cultivate that. How do we do that? And I want to answer it in three phases, okay? Because we kind of have three phases of life. We're kids, and then we're young adults, and then we are adults, okay? So we'll take the simplest one first. Let's start with, as a kid, we obey. As a kid, we obey. This is the easiest one. As a kid, we're totally under the authority and responsibility of our parents. We have to depend on them. We kind of have to yield to them. We have no agency. We have some agency, but not very much. And so parents, this is where you just have an incredible opportunity while your children are young. You have influence and a huge voice in their life. You need to be very careful with the culture and the values that you lay down in your home, because all the kid can do is obey. If you want to know how to honor your father and mother as a kid, Ephesians 5, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all the parents said, amen, amen, amen. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. And I can see some of your gears turning. You're already thinking of planning on using this. You're like, hey, you don't want to die young? Eat your green beans. Like, that's what you're thinking. You're like, I'm just going to use that. I'm just going to say it's biblical. It's biblical. You better obey me. But as a kid, you honor your father and mother by obeying. And then you have this in-between stage that we call young adults, right? It's 18 to 24. 25, 26, 27, 28-ish, you know. This is relatively new in human history, by the way. But if you're 18 to 24-ish, and you are dependent on your parents in any way for school, maybe you're in college or for insurance or your cell phone or your car payments or like for having a roof over your head, I would put you in this young adult phase of life. This is a tough one because like as a young adult, like you want to be an adult, right? You want to call your own shots. You want to be your own man. You want to be your own woman, but you're not quite able to do that. We have two kids in this phase right now, and it is not an easy one because as a parent, like you want to protect them, but you also want to step back and let them step out on their own. It's an interesting line to walk. It's not very easy. I don't know if we're doing it well. I like to fool myself and think we are, but it's just a difficult place to be. But if you're in this stage of life, how do you honor your parents? Well, as a young adult, learn from and work with your parents. Learn from and work with them. Like as a young adult, I was there once, and you know what you believe when you're a young adult? You think you know everything, right? That's kind of like what you believe. Some people don't grow out of that for very long. It takes them a while to grow out of that thinking that they know everything. But let me just tell you three of the most dangerous words that any person can say of every age. Three of the most dangerous words that anyone can utter in this life, no matter what age you are, and that is this: I've got this. I've got this. We've all said it. We've all said, I've got this. And we believe that we had this. But if you have any decent amount of history behind you in your life, you know that ain't true, right? You don't have this. But yet we've all said, I've got this. We've had it blow up in our face and realize that we don't have this. Well, one of the first steps of wisdom in this life is the humility of saying, I ain't got this, but God does. So let me give you three words to replace I've got this, and it's to say to God, I need you. Beginning of wisdom is that you never say, I've got this again, because you don't. But you say to God, I need you. I need you. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need your leadership in my life. And so if you're in that 18 to 24-year-old age gap, let me tell you something that you're not going to like to hear, but I hope you can hear it. You ain't got this, but God does. God's got it. And your parents have some mileage on them. And that mileage has taught them some lessons. And that mileage has given them some wisdom. And let me just tell you this, and you might not believe it, and this is for some of you adults as well, your parents have struggled. Your parents have struggled. They have learned some really hard lessons along the way, and they have overcome many of those struggles. And if you will take a little bit of time, and you will ask some good questions, and you'll just be a little bit curious, they will pass that wisdom on to you, and they will save you from some deep heartache because they went through it, and they learned the lessons. And they will share with you the hardships and the difficulties they face so that you might not. You gotta learn from them. And then when I say work with them, I mean this. It's never a bad time to ask for help. Never. And if anyone will help you, hopefully it's your parents. Two of our four kids are old enough now that they have come to us. And these are glorious moments. But they have come to us and they just said, I wish I would have asked for help from you guys sooner, because I think you could have helped me. And it's a cool moment when that happens. But you also wish the same thing for them. I wish you would have come sooner, because we might have been able to help just sidestep a couple of potholes that you kind of found yourself in. So when you're a young adult, you ask for help from your parents, you learn from them. And when you do that, you honor your father and mother. And then lastly, how do you honor your parents as adults? How do you honor your parents when you're an adult? I think we can cultivate a positive fifth commandment in four different ways. The first one is as adults, we honor our parents through acceptance. We honor our parents through acceptance. Romans 15:7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Can I just say acceptance is a really important part of honoring another person? You may be sitting there like, hey, I can't accept my parents because they're unacceptable. The life they live, I think, is unacceptable. The life they've lived, I can't get behind it. And I get that. Parents are flawed and broken, the best of them, the worst of them. Things can get really dark. But this verse says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. So let me ask you, did Jesus accept you because you've been the perfect person? Is that why Jesus has accepted you? No. He accepted you in spite of your flaws, your failures, your betrayals, your shortcomings, the guilt and shame and abuse that you have placed on other people. He accepted you. So how can we say, I won't accept my parents because they're unacceptable when we expect God to accept us when we've been unacceptable and we're supposed to accept others as Christ accepts us? Doesn't mean you have to say that, you know, parents, you guys have been great. But you can still accept them as people that were made by God. You can accept them just as your parents at the very least, even if they didn't do the greatest job at that. So let me just take a couple minutes and talk about what does it mean to accept your parents, and then we're going to get on to the three other ways that we can honor them. To accept your parents, acceptance involves understanding that no one is perfect. Like, nobody's perfect. This comes with the idea that nobody's perfect, including me. It's true of all of us. You're a mess, just like me. And you might have some things in order in your life, but you don't have all things in order in your life. Neither do your parents. So when we see that no one's perfect, there's room for accepting our parents. Accepting them means making the conscious choice to forgive them. To forgive them. Doesn't happen naturally. It happens intentionally. God intentionally has forgiven us through Jesus Christ and only through Jesus, and we have to intentionally choose to forgive our parents. What does that show? Acceptance. We don't need to say their behavior was good. We don't have to say we appreciate everything they did. We can be honest, but we can forgive. Jesus taught us this in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, how do we pray? You pray and forgive us our sins, God, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. How can I walk in the completed forgiveness of God and not offer forgiveness to other people? So we accept them by forgiving them. And believe it or not, when we forgive them and let it go, we set ourselves free. It's kind of some of the healing from the wounds that we get growing up begin with forgiveness. And that doesn't make them pay for it. It doesn't mean that they've got to make amends. It means that we let go of the burden that we've held on by not forgiving them. And we let the consequences of their actions, those are God's to deal with. God says, like, hey, let me handle it. You just forgive like I forgave you. Accepting them means purposely recognizing their successes. Purposely recognizing their successes. All of your parents, and mine as well, have had some type of success in their life. Often many successes. Recognize those. Like my dad, even though I didn't really know him, he had 60 patents to his name for building robots and robotics that helped build cars back in the 70s and 80s. He's a brilliant guy. That's amazing to me. My mom has so many skills. She's a professional grade seamstress. Like last week, I needed help sewing up a seat on a jet ski that we have, and the seat just kind of ripped apart at the seams where the stitching was. And so she came over, and like her and I are just standing together for about an hour on the side of that jet ski, and she is just teaching me how to re-sew this seat, and it looks fantastic. It's amazing. And she came over while I was out of town this last week and did the other side. And I'm like, I love that she's got so many successes, but I'll just tell you one of my mom's greatest successes that I'm so grateful for is she made sure that Keith and I knew Jesus when we were growing up. Now, it was very painful as a child because we went to every single church service available during the week, and that's all we did every evening. We went to church services. But we knew Jesus. And at this stage of our life, we both follow Jesus, and we've raised our kids to know Jesus. That is a success of my mom's. We follow Jesus now because of her faithfulness to Christ. Both my brother and I, our wives, and our kids. And let me just tell you, no matter how bad a parent was or is, they have had at least one success that is to be celebrated. You. You. God created you, fashioned you perfectly and wonderfully, and he chose to bring you into this world through them. He chose that. Without them, you don't exist. And in a world where life can be thrown away and discarded in the womb like trash. The fact that they brought you into this world needs to be celebrated. I know some of you are like, of course we celebrate it. What's not to like about me? Like, they were successful in that. As adults, we honor our parents first and foremost by accepting them. Secondly, as adults, we can honor our parents with gratitude. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We thank and praise God by remembering what he's done. And with your parents, some of us have a lot to be thankful for. We got a list of things to be thankful for. We got to bring out a whole notebook full of things to be thankful for. Others of us, note card. So I'm going to go to the base level common denominator. If we are alive, it means two things for sure. Those that God used to bring us into the world, we should thank them for their effort. We should thank them for their sacrifice at a base level. If they did nothing but bring you into this world, that is 9 months of unbelievable effort and amazing sacrifice in their life, because they've never forgotten you, just so you know. They've never forgotten you. Because it shapes them too. Even if they gave you away at birth for adoption. So if you're alive, you can be grateful that they made the effort and made the sacrifice to bring you into this world on your birthday. That's an amazing thing. We should be grateful at a base level just for that. By the way, if they raised you to your 18th birthday in their home, it cost them a lot of money. I just looked it up this morning. Do you know what the average cost is to raise a child right now from 0 to 18? $308,000. And I know when I was 0 to 18, it was in the six figures easily. That's a sacrifice we can be thankful for. We can have gratitude towards. A third way, as adults, we can honor our parents by remembering. Remembering the good that they did bring into our lives. And it's like, as I look back along the landscape of my life, it's like my mom in so many ways has given up her life for my brother and I. There's a lot to be grateful for. As I remember, as a single mom for many years, she took care of us. She watched out for us. She served us. She served our kids our whole lives. Every Sunday after church, she makes a big lunch for my brother and I and our kids. There's 13 of us there when everybody's at home. And it's like her mom did that. So like I remember growing up, my grandma would make lunch for everybody after church on Sundays. My mom has kept that tradition going. And so every Sunday, she makes lunch for everybody that's in town. And we all go over there and eat. So my mom has done that for as long as I can remember. So to honor our parents, we need to scan the horizons of our life and find the moments that were special. And if they're there, we need to remember those. See, it's easy to remember the bad. It's easy to remember the hurt. It's a lot more work to remember the good. It's a lot more work to remember the positive. But if we're going to honor them, we need to be grateful by remembering the good and celebrating the good and being thankful for the good. Psalm 77 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Like, we honor God and we remember the good that he's done. We honor our parents by remembering the good that they have done in our lives. And then lastly, as adults, we can honor our parents through supporting them. Through supporting them. It's being there when they need us, even though they might not have been there when we needed them. It's a really fascinating verse in 1 Timothy 5. But if she has children or grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. And I love that last line. We take care of our parents. When we take care of our parents as they hit the sunset of their lives, it pleases God. It puts a smile on their face. We do that by calling our parents just to see how they're doing, if they're still alive. Because I know some of you, both your parents aren't here anymore, and this message might be kind of landing a little bit hard right now. But while there's still time, you can still honor your father and mother. You can do that by calling them just to see how they're doing, by being attentive to their needs. And I will just tell you, my brother is so much better at this than me. You know, he is so good at supporting my mom's needs and including her in their family moments. Like my family, we kind of run at a little different pace than my brothers. Like we run a little quicker, and sometimes I just forget. But my brother, man, he's just on it. He's so good at honoring my mom by just making sure that she's a part of their family moments and her grandkids' moments. And like we're kind of running to catch up, and I'm trying to do better at that. But we can see supporting our parents as they hit the sunset of their lives, we can see them as a burden, or we can see supporting them as a way of honoring them. And if we can do that with joy, the promise of God of a full life and a long life where things go well with you is in full effect. Let's pray. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And for some of you in here, this seems like a tall mountain to climb. It's been a tough one for me. I'm still climbing it. And I'll just tell you, the only way that I've been able to climb that mountain is with a relationship with Jesus. Like he has given me the help I need to learn to honor my parents. I know he can help you too. And so I just want to give you an opportunity with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you have never began a relationship with Jesus, now is your time. Romans 10:9 just says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. And so maybe today is the day of your salvation. If you're listening online, maybe today is the day of your salvation. And if that day is today, I want to invite you to just pray with me. Just borrow my word, say them from your heart to God's. He hears every thought you point in his direction, every utterance of your heart to him, he hears. You can just say something like this: Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need your salvation. I believe that you sent your son to earth to die for my sins. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead and that in him I can be saved. So please forgive me. Teach me to live a new life following you. And for the rest of us, Jesus, would you help us live out this command? Help us not let dishonor shape us, but rather let honor guide us into seeing our parents differently than we have, that it may go well with us, and we may live a long life. In your holy name, amen. So we're going to close out our service just by worshiping God, our Heavenly Father. And this first song is kind of how, even though our earthly parents may have failed us, our Heavenly Father never will. So let's stand and sing together.